The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I'm delighted that we're joined by Owen Colfer on the programme. It has been a while. We have lots to talk to him about. He has a new play, My Real Life. And we're going to talk to him about books as well. And Artemis Fowl moving to the movies. Although, I believe it was Harvey Weinstein who was going to be partly involved.
Harvey was the producer until yesterday. And then he was, I think, removed by Disney from the project. So I think that's for the best, really. I don't think they wanted Harvey associated with a Disney project. I don't think he's going to be associated with any project from now on. So, but I thought...
How involved was he? I mean, have you met the man?
I've talked to him on the phone. I never met him. It was kind of surreal because I was on a US tour and I was in some backwater in Virginia and my phone rang and Harvey had tracked me down and he wanted to just talk to me and assure me that the movie would go ahead. And this was like 10 years into the 15-year freeze that he instigated. So I thought even when he left, I was thinking he's going to put the kibosh on this movie, but he didn't. And he's finally been exposed, I suppose. But no, I've never met him. I met his brother Bob once.
Who's still with the company.
Yeah, and he was very charming. But literally, it was in we went to the premiere of Spy Kids, that amazing piece of art. And he just said, someone said, Mr. Weinstein, we own this man's property. He said hello. I said goodbye, and that was it.
Just remind everybody the sort of the story of Artemis Fowl, the books, and there are eight of them, I think, aren't there?
There are eight books.
But how there's going to be at least one movie?
We hope so. Before the books were ever books, my agent took the manuscript to Hollywood, and Harvey Weinstein bought it in conjunction with Robert De Niro and Disney.
Then, that's a combination.
Lovely. And Robert De Niro is still the executive producer, so he'll probably have a few more duties now. But and then Harvey immediately fell out with Disney because they bought Miramax and fired, or not fired, but they bought Miramax up and kind of Bob and Harvey weren't really welcome anymore. And Miramax is their parents, Mira and Max, so it was their company. So Harvey said, well, in that case, I'm keeping Artemis Fowl and we're not making it. And he only released it 12 years later when the current head of Disney moved on and he got on. He was friends with the new head. And so then it came back into...
So you're effectively, your vision for Artemis Fowl to be brought to the movies was held up because of a personal row that Harvey Weinstein had with Disney.
There's also the internal financial struggles that I'm not privy to. I don't know what percentage Harvey had, what percentage Disney had, or Robert De Niro's company. And there was all sorts of conditions there. And so eventually Harvey agreed to let Disney make it if he could produce it. And that was the case. Kenneth Branagh came on board, Judi Dench came on board. It's all go for February. And then this Harvey thing blows up, which is very distasteful. And he's rightly removed from everything, you know, so he's kind of reaped what he sowed now, which is only right.
How involved are you in the movie? Because are you script writing it? Have you an involvement, or is it literally your hands off at this
I'm
stage?
Very hands off. I mean, well, there's a website. They released today the writers, and it said I was one of the writers, but I'm not one of the writers. Conor McPherson is writing it, and he has written it. So every now and then Conor rings me. But I mean, I'm not going to tell Conor McPherson. I went to see.
Why
Conor.
Not? They're your characters. Have you seen them?
Have you seen Conor McPherson's Bob Dylan play? It's the most unbelievable. If you can go to London, maybe you're going to be performing at the Improv in Leicester Square.
No, I'm not.
Well, while you're there, go to see Conor's play, and it's unbelievable. I mean, there was just people were just, I don't know. Kieran Hines is in it. Amazing. It's just amazing. And I was like weeping freely. And I had brought my son with me and he didn't know why dad was crying. And it's just the impact of those songs on people my age. I'm 52 and I kind of grew up with Dylan. And really powerful stuff. Very powerful.
So you're a big fan of Conor McPherson. I have been happy to let him.
Since the Seafair or whatever. So I'm like, yeah, Conor, go. But he rings up every now and then and uses, like, I could be a sounding board. So you would say, what do you think of this?
Because you're actually quite a visual person as well, aren't you? As well, I mean, it's not just the writing of the stories of Artemis Fowl. You used to do comics and cartoons.
Well, I do. I brought one in. This is my new graphic novel with Andrew Duncan called Illegal, and it deals with the migration across the Mediterranean from Africa to Europe. And this is currently, we're very proud to say, this rarely happens, it's currently the book of the week in The Times and The Guardian. So that hardly ever happens. So we're very, very pleased with that. So I do tend to think in pictures, which goes nicely into comics.
Well, actually, talk to me about your interest in the Mediterranean. Because I remember RT did a magnificent documentary almost about 18 months ago about the Irish Naval Services rescuing
fantastic.
The people.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And yet, it goes out of the consciousness so quickly, doesn't it? And this still goes on. There are still people drowning in the Mediterranean, children drowning.
A million
there.
People attempted the crossing last year, and that's a conservative estimate. And my writing partner, Andrew, came to me with this. And he did a lot of work with local charities, and he does work with migrant charities, and he really wanted to bring this. Like, I wanted to write another book about farting leprechauns, but he said, no, we're going to do something real. So we did this book about two kids coming up from Ghana. We didn't want to do Syria because that seemed, people can understand why people would come from Syria, but they're thinking, well, why would you come from Ghana? You know, lovely country, no war. And they don't understand what an economic migrant is. And I asked some kids, and they said, I said, do you see that cathedral boat? What's happening there? And they said, oh, they're trying to sneak in from Africa into Europe.
Yeah, because it's very hard to argue the case for economic migrants.
It is hard until you look into it and you see that these kids are surviving on sachets of boosted peanut butter, and like 500,000 kids die of malnutrition every year. And then it gets a little easier to understand. And the cases where there's no parents and the oldest kid goes because they have to find some way to keep the younger kids alive. You know, it's horrible being a 12-year-old boy having to walk half the way across the Sahara Desert.
This book, Illegal, what age group is it aimed at?
It's for 9 to 90, as we say. So if you're able to read it, you can read it. But we're hoping to really get directly to, like, there's no metaphors in this book. This is what happens. Everything in this book happens to someone or other, and we just linked it all together. And at the back of the book, I don't have to open back, but there's a true story which is done in a journalistic style. It's just an interview that's been illustrated just to show you we're not exaggerating. So every single page in this book happened to one migrant or another, and we just gave it all to one little boy to make it more, I suppose, riveting, because even though it is a novel about a topic, it has to be interesting to keep the kids reading.
Owen Colfer is with us here on The Last Word on Today FM. Owen, that book, Illegal, you did it with who? Who's your partner on it?
A guy called Andrew Duncan, who has written five graphic novels together. He's also done Batman, a lot of other stuff. And the artist is Giovanni Rigano, who's Italian, and he's worked on The Incredibles. So you'll kind of recognise that style a little bit.
You have a tremendous variety in your work because you've also done, wasn't it, Iron Man as well?
I did Iron Man. These things just come up. You know, it's a great position to be in where I get calls to do stuff. And I don't do most of them. But sometimes things come up that I'm really interested in doing. And I consider them like a side project away from my main job, which is, you know, writing books for 12-year-olds.
And obviously doing as well The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy sequel to be the new Douglas Adams.
Well, the brilliant thing about that is that just keeps going, because now that's nearly 10 years ago. So they've got together the full cast, and actually I was supposed to be there this week, but I couldn't make it. I was going to be a Viking. They're recording the full cast as they did all the other ones after 40 years. Two of the cast, unfortunately, the voice of the book and Trillian, have died since, so they've got new people in. And I think Ed Byrne, is because I had a new Irish character called Hillman Hunter, which is a bit of a nod to Ford Prefect, of course. And Ed Byrne's playing. I couldn't be happier about that.
Talk to me about your new play, though, for the Wexford Opera Festival, which is on at the end of this month and in early November as well. My Real Life. What's this all about?
Well, My Real Life is based, the first iteration of it is based on a friend of mine who was diagnosed with MS. And this guy has always been the funniest person in my life, and very sarky and real Wexford. And so when he was diagnosed with MS, he told me all about it. And he told me one night that he had a couple of dark nights of the soul, but he didn't go through with anything because of he loved his wife a lot and still does, and he didn't want to affect her and his mom and his brother. So it was like it wasn't the selfish thing to do, basically, in his mind, would have been to end it all. But so he didn't for that reason. And this guy in this play, Noel, is in that same situation, but he decides he's going to go ahead. So a play about a guy with MS deciding to end it all is a bit of a stretch for me. But luckily I had the fantastic Don Witcherly and the brilliant Ben Barnes, and we kind of hammered it out between us. And Don,
it started as a shorter performance, wasn't it, that you then decided to break into a full-length play?
Well, yeah, there was four short 15-minute shows. There was me, John Banville, Colm Tobin, and Billy Roach. So a barrel of laughs, as you can imagine, down there. Oh, the crack. But anyway.
But all Wexford men, is it?
Four Wexford men. And I know Colm well, I know Billy well, and I know John a little bit. And they're just like charming gents. And I felt a lot under pressure because these are like serious playwrights. And so I really put a lot of effort into my 15 minutes. And it landed with the audience. And then Don and Ben came back and said, listen, we think this could take a 90-minute show. So I went away and we workshopped it a lot, and Don and Ben were very involved. And so I didn't think it could. And then I went to see Michael Murphy doing The Man in the Woman's Shoes, and I went to see Pat Kinnavan in his trilogy. And I saw that one man can hold an audience, or one woman can hold an audience for a show. And so we're just back from Edinburgh. We've got loads of 4 5-star reviews there. And so now we're going to the toughest audience.
The home audience.
And Don is not from Wexford, so that's going to be, but he has the accent down, so, but it'll be interesting. And even, I know it's not related, but I'm even prouder of the fact that the following week, my brother's play is in, which is, my brother Eamon has a play called The Breakwater, and that's on from the 9th to the 12th in the Opera House. So you have two Colfers, one week and one the next week.
And how competitive are the brothers when it comes to this type of thing?
I don't know. I think we're completely different. Eamon is starting out. He's considerably younger than me. And I think this is his fourth play or fifth. And it's very, very different. He's very, very interpretive, very, very literary, but also very, very darkly funny. Mine is like very much a traditional play. And what you see is what you get. But with Eamon, I think you think about it for days after, and then you go back and see it again.
But this is stretching yourself in another different direction. So,
well, you know, I'm very lucky in that I made a good living from Artemis Fowl and continue to do so. So if you can stretch yourself, why wouldn't you? You know,
will you ever go back to it? Anyway, J.K. Yeah. Rowling finished with Harry Potter. Are you finished with Artemis Fowl?
I think I'm finished with him. I'm finished with that guy. But there were like 20 other characters. And I said when I finished Artemis that I'm going to take 5 years away from the fairy world.
It's 5 years now.
Is it five?
It is.
Oh, thanks, man. So I maybe next year I'll start thinking about it. But for now, I've got another book to do. I've got another play starting with Breida Cash next month. We're starting rehearsals for that. And I have a musical on an American tour in 2019.
A
for
musical
Christmas.
About what?
It's about Christmas. It's a feel-good it's actually about homelessness. But Santa quits being Santa and he goes to live with the homeless in the park to be their protector. So that's what it's really about.
Are you writing the music and the songs?
No, I write the lyrics. But I have a good friend of mine, Liam Bates, who lives in Kilmore in Wexford, and who's worked with people such as Pavarotti, Phil Collins, Pete Townsend, Dave Stewart, all these people. We've been composing songs for years, and we finally kind of hit our stride with this. And
has this been commissioned now?
Yeah, we have American producers. We were over there. There was a big festival we presented last month, and we have 18 theatres so far signed up for the tour in 2018. So because it only has a 6-week window, because it's Christmas.
Yes.
It's like fancy panto. And we're hoping to get it on in Dublin as well. But America is our first America, and then we'll hopefully return home in Longships triumphant. That's our plan.
You sound phenomenally busy.
It always seems like that, but like for long swathes of time, I'm out in Monkstown, sitting in cinnamon, just tapping away, having a coffee, and I really enjoy that. So for 8 months at a time, I'm very quiet. And then for 4 months at a time, it's hectic.
Sounds great. Best luck with the book, the new book, and with the play. The play is called My Real Life, and it's on the Wexford Opera Festival the 27th and 28th of October, the 3rd and the 4th of November. And I think as well, your book Illegal sounds like it's going to be great. And perhaps Christmas stocking for many kids coming up to Christmas. Thank you very much, Owen Colfer, for joining us here on The Last Word in Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.